Welcome to the Plain Living Podcast, episode 89.
Well, we've got a lot of work to do.
The House.
It's going to take more than 4 years to get
there. They'll take it at the midterm elections.
He's got the charisma. He's going to do it.
He's our man. Reagan's a man.
Hey, Jerry. Huh? What are they talking about?
They're talking about Reagan's speech.
Order those two men some drinks and put on my tab. Jerry. You tell them that Republicans are not welcome in Hell's Kitchen, and either a political conversion or a change of conversation is in order.
Sure thing.
Republican Party is...
Yeah? General, my dad would like to buy you a drink on one condition. You know the rules. No religion, no politics. You get my meaning?
I know how you grade. Go have another beer.
The hell is that supposed to mean? What do you know? You know nothing. You don't know what I go through.
No, I don't know what you go through, Matt. Or if you go through anything. But that's your choice, dear, not mine.
It is my choice is not to scream at the world. Maybe one of us has to be reasonable around here. You ever think of that?
Reasonable? Gee, Matt, I don't know about you, but I miss my son. I'm glad you have time for reason. So what you imparted to Frank, that sense of reason. Oh, he thought you were very reasonable. Nothing.
Are you saying that I'm the one responsible? Is that it? Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You got it backwards. I know what you think, that I was too lenient. That I let him get away with
everything! Everything!
Yes, yes, yes! And why? Why did he never come to you?
He wouldn't listen to me, Matt!
No, he wouldn't listen to you because you never listened to him!
No, you did. You were winking at him the whole time. You encouraged him. You wanted what he had. Her.
Oh, my God, you
come
gotta
on,
be
you know it! You wanted it and you couldn't get it. That's why you didn't stop him. So you could get your kicks from your son. You can't admit the truth to me or to yourself that Frank died for your fantasy piece of ass!
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Living Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Veronica Williams.
Hello.
In this episode, we're continuing with our theme of revenge movies, and in this episode also, we're discussing the film Sleepers and In the Bedroom, and no, they're not porn.
No. They aren't. It could be, though.
Right? Those would be horrible. Anyway, before getting into our discussion...
Sleepers, though, could be interesting.
Gross. You're so gross. We would love to mention we are brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your sweet asses over to DeliberateNoise.com and check out some of their other shows over there. Drink, roll call time, Veronica.
I would not like to tell you what I'm having. I would like you to just guess.
Grapefruit vodka.
Absolutely right. What are you having, Cruz?
I am having my new... drink since Whole 30, which is vodka, water, lemon.
Smart.
Hydrate, dehydrate.
That is good though. We've been doing vodka sodas and then vodka waters with those little like juice flavoring things.
Yeah,
and those have been good. Mm-hmm. I can get along with that. I approve.
Thank you. I've been talking all day waiting to know
yeah, you've been
my drink choice
desperate
or not.
For it. Yeah. All right, so our first selection is Rachel's pick, and it is from 1996, and it is Sleepers.
You read The Count of Monte Cristo lately? I read a little bit of it every night. I read words like revenge, sweet lasting revenge.
I don't want you getting in any trouble.
Come on, Fog, you know I never do.
That's all I wish for you and your friends.
That's it?
That's it, nothing else, I swear.
Four friends raised in a legacy of crime.
Everybody says this place come for jobs.
Who is everybody?
You think running for King Benny's a good idea? Huh?
Pace.
A lot of things, Pace.
Not like this.
But when a childhood prank resulted in an accident.
The court hereby sentences you to no less than 1 year at the Wilkinson Home for Boys.
The punishment.
You gotta have rules and you gotta have discipline.
Was far more than they deserved.
It's a lot of power to have over a boy, isn't it?
I don't want anybody to know.
So might as well not even talk about it. The truth stays with us.
Years later, they bound together.
He went in there and he asked for the case. Now you tell me, what the hell kind of friend is that?
In a pact to avenge those who destroyed their innocence.
You still sleep with the light on?
What are you saying, Mike?
It's payback time. It's our time.
I don't think you know the meaning of rules. Rules! You understand?
We need somebody to take the stand.
So you figured if you had a priest, it would be perfect?
Not just any priest.
This is a murder case.
I am afraid that I'll make a mistake.
And you go down for the dirt nap.
No one knows if I did this information. And I mean nobody.
How did you get it?
It fell into my lap.
Priest wouldn't lie. Am I right? Has anyone ever questioned your word before today?
No, but there's a first time for everything.
Sleepers, based on the controversial bestseller.
Four boys growing up in Hell's Kitchen play a prank that leads to an old man getting hurt. Sentenced to no less than 1 year in the Wilkinson Center in upstate New York, the four friends are changed by the beating, humiliation, and sexual abuse by the guards sworn to protect them. 13 years later and a chance meeting lead to a chance for revenge against the Wilkinson Center and the guards.
Chance.
Yeah, and there was no Oxford comma. Yeah.
Okay, so this is Sleepers. These are sort of coincidentally two films that I own. We don't often do both of the movies and we own them both.
Right.
That's not usually a thing.
Like, rarely.
Unless it was the Brad's Pick theme that we did. Where he just randomly grabbed movies. And I was not pleased by his selections.
I'll have to remind him of that.
That's yeah. It could be the return of Brad. Could always be a theme.
Oh my God, the Brad Tire strikes back.
Yeah, we'd have to put him in a room where all of our movies were combined, but clearly labeled, so there was no confusion. And then he could just.
You don't want Kung Fu Panda 2?
I'm just saying. I know that you used to have issues with your DVDs getting stolen, and I don't want to have those issues.
Oh, well, I wouldn't steal your DVDs. I put Old Boy in the toilet again.
I know. I heard that you tried doing that again.
I didn't try. I hid it in your apartment somewhere. I didn't put it in the toilet. I just hid it.
Yeah, Strauss said that you're thinking about cooking something up like that again.
Listen, that fucking snitch. I'm never going to. Tell her snitches, you stitches.
That's true. It's true, though. Okay, so Sleepers. Tell me about you in this movie. Where did you come up with this? Was this a Google search? And then, let's do that one. Or what was it?
Yeah, it's a Google search and then an awkward Rachel story.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure that there was like a movie with Robert Redford called Sneakers or something, and that's what I thought this was.
Oh, really?
Because like, it was on the cover of it, and I'm like, oh, it's Robert Redford. I'm pretty sure that my parents watched this movie one time and they thought it was good. And so I thought it was a different movie, but so there's that.
But that doesn't have anything to do with revenge, I don't think.
Well, I know, people sneak around and get revenge.
That's funny. It is Robert Redford, though, Sneakers from 92.
Okay, so I wasn't totally off the mark, which I've never seen that movie either, but I thought that these were the same movie.
Hilarious.
I was waiting for Robert Redford to
You're like, God.
The fuck it? No, he's not. Okay, he's not in here.
You're like, wow, he's got an incredible agent. Like, he's not even on any of the DVD art, or he's not listed. He's got a real impactful end here, apparently.
Twist ending. I had no idea.
Twist ending is Robert.
It was a fake casino. Hold on.
Okay, so my history with this is, I believe this was the first movie after Seven that I saw that I knew who Brad Pitt was.
Wow, okay.
And it was a movie where, this was one of those where when I first started figuring out like who certain actors were in terms of, I wanted just to follow whatever they were doing.
Got it.
And I was like, oh, okay, Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Bacon, I don't know, the Flashdance guy,
or
the
Footloose
guy, and Jason Patrick, I don't know who that is kind of what I was like.
I still don't know who Jason Patrick is.
There's a guy in the middle, whatever. And so he's the main guy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He's older.
Right.
He looks a little bit like Mark Ruffalo and Superman mashed together to me.
My goodness, I'd like to be mashed between them.
See how I set you up for things?
It's good. But ching.
That's called cooperation, right? that what you described would also be called cooperation.
Right.
So
from at least one of them.
and so I saw this movie and was like, "Wow, that is a dreary, heavy fucker of a movie. I better own it." And so I went out and purchased it, and it was one of the first DVDs that I bought. It is a very, very early DVD print.
Explain why it's early.
So early, in fact, not only does it have the sort of more cardboard feeling front to the DVD case, but it also cannot fit all 147 minutes on one side of the disc.
Right.
So you do have to stop and flip it over and watch the other half.
Or you let it stop and then you hit your DVD player because you think something's wrong with it. And then you realize that you had already told me that.
Yeah, Anel basically said when we were watching this, "What is this shit?" I was like, "You have to flip it over?" And I was like, "Oh my god." Like, the horror of having to flip over the DVD.
First world problem. It's like fucking Titanic on VHS.
Oh yeah, or Braveheart, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, look how... It's like, look how cool this is. It's like the spine is huge. Oh, it's too shit. Oh, I'm gonna have to get up.
No, you just never mind. Anyway.
Anyway, so that's kind of what my memory of it was that it was a really heavy movie. I definitely never forgot from the first time I saw it the football sequence. That was one that really stuck into my mind.
Really?
Yeah, and. I kind of, once they grow up, I kind of forgot all about it, which is funny because most of the people, except for Robert De Niro, are not in the film until they grow up. And Kevin Bacon, I guess.
Right.
So, two out of the five.
Bacon. Gross Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, super gross. Like, this is like Kevin Bacon, near Apollo Man.
And True Detective, yeah.
Yeah, he's just being the grossest of the gross.
So
I guess that being said, that was my history. What did you make of this since it was your selection and it was a first timer for you?
Well, since Robert Redford wasn't in it,
I had disappointment feels from the get go.
So Brad hadn't seen this and it was sitting on our coffee table and he came home after I got done watching it and he was like, "Oh, what is this?" And I'm like, "We can watch it again if you want."
Ooh.
So it's pretty intense. And so I would have been okay with like rewatching it and seeing what he, you know, like the word I would use is intense. Obviously there are parts of it that are horrifying. And you know, like you think, I always think this now watching it as a quote unquote grown up versus a little kid. Like when those kids are like, "Let's go steal hot dogs." I'm like, "Fuck you guys. Seriously?"
Yeah, you fuckers.
Like, you deserve to go somewhere. Not what they got, but they obviously were being idiots. And then you steal the truck. I was like, "You guys are fucking stupid." Like,
Brad Renfro, what are you doing?
Right? You're just getting Tom and Huck and everyone in trouble.
But I always think of Brad Renfro from Apt Pupil with...
saw that.
Oh, with Ian McKellen. And it's one of Bryan Singer from Usual Suspects. It's one of his first movies. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's based on a Stephen King book. Or novella.
I mean, you could have said book. That would have been fine.
Whatever.
But anyway, So we watched a lot of revenge movies, and I have never been more satisfied with the initial revenge than in this movie.
Nice.
You guys are in the bar, and they're like, "We're gonna fucking shoot this guy." And I'm like, yes.
Like, do exactly that.
Yes, because he obviously deserved to, you know, some horrible punishment, and those two were, like, my favorite characters, because they're just, you know, they grew up wrong, but they, you know, they're fun. And they're like, we're just going to fucking shoot this guy, I don't care the people in the restaurant, because he totally deserved it, and that was, like, the most... I can't think of another movie that we've watched that the revenge is more satisfying than just straight up that.
Yeah, I think that that is definitely the biggest part of these movies, right? Is it's mm-hmm. you have to have the revenge has to be satisfying.
Right.
I do think it's interesting that we saw it was Billy Crudup who played Tommy, who was the long-haired one.
And he was okay. Like he was believable.
Yeah. And we've seen him from Big Fish, and he was in Watchmen.
He's
Dr. Manhattan, the guy with his blue
window.
Yeah.
He picks good roles.
He does. And he's kind of an interesting guy to where he's not like a super famous actor, I don't feel like.
Right.
But he's in a lot of I wouldn't necessarily say like high quality stuff, but like good solid things.
Yeah, like he probably reads the script and is like, I like what's going on here.
Yeah, it just seems like a guy who, I don't know if it's right to say that he never sells out, but he's never really gone for like, he's not a guy that's doing like a
50 First Dates.
Yeah, a romantic comedy or like like Avengers or something. I mean, he did Watchmen, but that's not the same sort of goal.
It's not. It's by a Rasputin impersonator, so it's...
That's right, and Wizard.
And Wizard. And Santa!
Alan Moore, he's a grouchy man. You know that?
Fuck that, I'd be grouchy too.
Yeah, fuck it. If I looked like Rasputin.
Right.
I'd be like, fuck everything. okay, so my first note is... Looking through the cast list, I was like, wow, Minnie Driver? Wow, that's somebody you never hear of anymore.
Right. Is she okay?
I hope so.
Right.
I feel bad making that joke if she's not.
Right.
She was, wow, she's 9 years older than me. So she's in her mid-40s, so that means she's basically unemployable.
She's a man. She's 40. They probably sent her off down the river with Elaine.
Yep. That's probably true. You know, one of the things that's just ridiculous, and this is a tangent, but in the bedroom, the character who's played by Marissa Tomei is the new Aunt May in the next reboot of the Spider-Man movies.
Really?
So that's the old aunt, right?
Yeah.
She's 50 years old. Robert Downey Jr. is 51, and Mark Ruffalo is 50. So they're the main
superheroes.
So they're the superheroes, and she's old balls Aunt May, and they're the same age, and that's just ridiculous.
We'll get to her.
People
age better than other.
But look at her though. Come on, Cruz. I'm not saying, but I'm saying. So, getting back to sleepers, did you take notes on this one?
No.
I'm asking you. Okay, I took notes.
I watched it really intently, but I did not take notes. I had to actually rewatch parts of it because I did not understand the initial talk between, what's his name? The Jason Patrick and Brad Pitt when they initially meet and he's like setting up the whole
thing. Oh, when he's gonna do a shitty job on purpose and all
right.
That.
Right. So I had to rewind that because I was like, what are you saying, Brad Pitt? I don't know what you're saying. So I'm too busy
looking at your really young looking face.
My goodness. This reminded me of, what's the one where he fights the bear? Legends of the Fall.
Legends of the Fall. You know what? That is so weird because we got done with this movie and I said, hey, Strauss, have you ever seen Legends of the Fall? And so we watched the trailer and she's like, oh yeah, I've seen that. And I'm like, yeah, I can't watch that movie. That beginning part with the World War I stuff, and then I'm like getting all misty-eyed thinking about the youngest brother, E.T., right?
Yeah.
Elliot from E.T., getting just blown to shit.
Yeah, and his wife.
He's blinded and all this, and then the wife's trying to bone everybody in the family. And I'm just like, oh my god, I can't even handle that movie right now. It's a long night. There's a lot of booze. Just saying. The trailer of... Legends of the Fall got me all emotional.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. Who's to say I'm cold?
And you just sit there and watch trailers of Brad Pitt, weirdo.
Sometimes I like watching a lot of trailers, and I'm like, hey, Strauss, what about this one? And she's like, yeah, fucking great. And she's looking at her phone. I'm like, oh, this is good, though. Look at this one, though. And she's like, yeah, we already watched that. It's like, well.
Yeah, but you have to watch it again. There are, like, subtle hints that they drop. God, Strauss.
Well, usually it's like I'm drunk and I don't remember. So I'm like, ah, well, you know, it's coming out soon. So I just was refreshing you. And she's like, oh, all right. And then I kind of look at her to see if she buys it or not. And sometimes she does.
No, she's not.
Most of the time she knows better, and half the time she doesn't give a shit.
It's so true.
She's like, ah, let me look at this cat video. I don't give a fuck what you're saying. Like, yeah, true enough. And that's a good point. So, I did say that I loved how this movie was just completely saturated with revenge. Because you start out and it's just these kids and they're just kind of dicking off. And from the beginning, you know, the hot dog stuff gets stolen.
Right.
And the guy that, you know, the guy that maybe could have said, oh, you know, they're just kids, cut them a break or whatever. He's like, no, fuck them. They deserve to go to jail.
I wouldn't have said that.
Well, he could have. He could have been like, oh, you know, it was my fault, whatever. I'm sure he could have done something other than throw them under the bus, right?
I'm saying he could have and he couldn't have.
Okay, sorry.
No.
And, so he kind of got his revenge in that they got in trouble, right?
Fair enough.
Obviously, the people that, the guy that got injured got a little bit of revenge in that they, you know, the justice system prevailed and they did have to go to this correctional facility. Sure. And then obviously the main revenge was dished out first in through the football game where the kids got to beat up on the guards a little bit.
Yeah.
And ultimately after when they're all grown up. But it just seemed like it just was seeping revenge everywhere.
Like eye for an eye for an eye for an eye.
Right. Leaves the whole world blind.
Right.
That's how it is. That's how it goes. So I really liked that. I thought that New York City, what a fucking miserable place to live, wow, always.
Just so loud, I feel like.
It just seemed...
gross?
Well, and it just seemed so hot. And I was like, oh,
it's 100 man. Degrees here today.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like... You know, I don't need to be hot and around a million people.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, not even a million. I mean, that I like how my exaggeration is not even enough people than what right. the reality is. But I don't need to be around so many different people when I'm already hot and irritated, which is my natural state. And so, you know, at least in Nebraska, you're not surrounded as much.
Right. I'm going to go into my house and shut the doors and turn... the TV on and I can't hear anyone.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm going to do. So I did also put this kind of needed no explanation, but I put Kevin fucking Bacon.
Oh. Oh, and Guy Pearce. God.
Guy Pearce? Guy Pearce isn't in this.
Isn't he one of the other guards?
No.
Yes.
No, he's not.
He looks just like him then.
Boy, I really hope he's not, because I don't think he is. No, I don't see him on the cast list.
Hold on.
There must be a guy that looks, looks like...
Yeah, I know who it is. It's the guy from Burn Notice that looks like Guy Pearce.
I don't know who that is either.
I'm gonna find it.
I'm striking out for you. I know Bruno Kirby, who plays, Shakes, the main character, who plays, his dad, who beats the shit out of his wife. And that's right. Those are tough sequences to watch.
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Donovan. He was one.
Oh, there we go. Plays Addison. Right. Yeah, he does look like him, I guess.
So anyway, let's talk about how Kevin Bacon is a pile of shit.
Okay, so Kevin Bacon, first of all, he's got the like short hair, thin face, Kevin Bacon.
Right.
Creepy skinny fucker.
Right.
Right. And it's the way that he has the sort of little man syndrome about him. The never important as enough.
Right. I have this tiny bit of authority, and so I'm going to use it to make everyone. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, he's got that. And he's got just the way that he delivers his lines, like when they have the food fight.
Yes.
And he's just belittling them, and he has the whole cafeteria's attention. And he's just the one guy, right? Like, there's others around, but it's, right. you know, probably upwards of 100 kids, and it's just him. And they're all listening to him. And, you know, of course they have to throw in that he's a racist as well.
Right.
But it's, for me, it's when you see him at first and you're not sure what they're going to do when he's grown up and when Kevin Bacon's older and his hair is all long and stringy and you can tell his life's shitty.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh man, what a gross looking fucker. Like, fuck you, Kevin Bacon. Like, at least you can do is take care of your disgusting ass.
Well, and he's like eating gross.
Yeah.
So he's cutting up giant chunks and like shoving him in his mouth and making noise on the plate. And I'm like, oh, you're doing a great job.
Well, I taught you boys a lesson. And I'm just like, you fuck. Yeah. You know, just sitting there getting angry at him, which, I mean, kudos to him. He does an excellent job of what he's trying to do.
Right, that's very true.
But it's like, God, I hate you so much. I hate your stupid face.
That's why, like, the gunshots in his body were so... Well, the first one in his penis was like, yes.
Which, I mean, it had to be the first one, right?
Yeah, he had to feel it.
Sure, of course.
I would have let him sit there for a little bit longer before I killed him. Just... Now,
what would have been the point if they had shot him in the chest a couple times and then blew his dick off?
Right. It wouldn't have made any sense.
The next thing I had about the cast, well, first of all, this is a tremendous, tremendous cast.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, Louise. But I wonder if this is one of Robert De Niro's most likable roles. Because he plays, you know, yeah, and Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers, he's like, oh, he's funny because he's like the grouchy old dad.
Yeah, those are the worst movies of all time.
But, sure, but he, I'm not defending those at all.
Okay.
But here, he's playing like the, oh, good for you, like, do what you gotta do, and it starts right away with the clicker and the nuns and the little schoolgirls.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot of fun. And Annell was like just, you know, a half second behind what was happening in that. And because she heard it again, and she's watching, and she sits there for a second, and she goes, oh, it's the priest that has it. And I'm like, yes, dear, it is. And she's like, oh, that's great. I like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, so she really appreciated that. And it was a lot of fun, you know, sitting next to her and watching her watch this, because
right. She
was really struggling with the... with the abuse that the kids went through, especially with the tremendous makeup job that they do once they're in the prison and once they are beaten.
Yeah.
Because Shakes and Michael, maybe? Yeah, Brad Pitt's character, that really get the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah, and I thought that when they grew up that Michael was going to be the one that was, like, out of control.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I feel like he got the worst of it. Well, they all got horrible, but...
Well, yeah, Shakes got out the easiest, if there is such a thing.
Right, right.
So I think that's rough. And going back to Kevin Bacon, one of the things that's, you know, the thing is, him saying the blowjob line is bad enough, right?
Yeah.
But it's the way that he does it, and it's just sort of matter of fact. And I'm just, like, looking at the screen, and I got that kind of sort of a wince on my face, and I'm like, oh, what? Oh, jeez. You know, and I'm like, this is not going to turn out well for them.
Right, and this is not the first time he's tried that line out.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. It like, is,
He knew that he's like, maybe I'll get these guys. It's like a standard procedure, basically.
Yeah, really. And that's part of the thing where it's like, ugh, how many times has he done this? And no wonder he's got the cafeteria's attention when he speaks. Right. You know? So yeah, the football game, like I said, is one that's really tough because I think first of all that it's shot really well because, you know, you don't have to make it an actual football game because no one gives a shit about that.
Right.
You just want to see the highlights. I'm not concerned about if the guard pulled at the proper time and what kind of drops the receiver had, right?
It's like running the right pattern.
It's like, oh God, you totally blew that assignment. You're supposed to go over here and we're running a trap and you didn't do it right. It's not anything like that. So you got to see the highlights. You got to see that Rizzo was the man, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I really liked the idea that you got to see the prisoners take charge. And as soon as they win, you're like, well, they are fucking in trouble.
Right. You're immediately like, I hope you enjoyed that because you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was the part that was really tough, especially with, you know, them with Rizzo not wanting to play, knowing what was going to happen, they convince him and then he plays and dies.
Right.
I'm like, you little fuckers. It's like, I get what you're doing, but that's such a fucking selfish move.
But don't you think if they were older and made better decisions that they would have known that that would have blown up in their face?
Probably.
They would have never tried that. Because I get what, like you said, I get what they were trying to do, but they did not see big picture there at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those where it's kind of nice being the grown up and being the one like, oh, no. Don't
right.
do that.
Right.
Ooh, this is going to be bad. And it kind of makes it, when you're watching, you have that sort of anticipation of the, well, this is going to be terrible and I'm going to have to watch it.
Right. Like, I get, yeah, you're having a great time and I hope you really enjoy this moment, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember this moment later when you're down in the basement.
Right, yeah. When there's a bunch of you down in the basement on his, Shakes' last night.
Right.
Woo! Rough. Really, really rough. So I did want to mention that I loved that the actual revenge is just by chance.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not like, oh, we gotta seek out Noakes and make him pay. It's just, holy shit, there he is.
Well, because they forgot him, like, or, you know, trying to suppress it so much that sure. they would never have done that.
Sure. Well, and it, you know, from what they had talked about the way that their lives had turned out, they had plenty of other shit to keep them busy.
Right. Yeah. Especially those two.
Yeah, those two had plenty of other people to kill and all that kind of shit, so. They didn't have to, they didn't have time to go seek out the revenge for the way that they are. And I did like how, you know, at the beginning of the movie, the kids don't necessarily mean to hurt anyone. They're not bad kids necessarily.
Right, they're stupid.
And they're just dumb kids. And then you sort of see what they turn out to be. And they don't turn out to just be dumb grown-ups. That don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They very clearly know what they're doing. And so I just like that you can sort of see how, how one instance or one, like, set of a year or what have you can change the way that their lives are.
Right.
You know, I just think that that's an interesting thing to show.
So, like, I'm watching this, and he finally tells Father Bobby and Minnie Driver's character mm-hmm. what happened to mm-hmm. all of them. And all I'm thinking is, like, would the revenge have been better if they would have, if he would have left and just blabbed his mouth? Like, how would that have gone if they, cause like, if they, you know, would have actually told someone.
Mm.
Because they all, like, make a pact to keep this a secret, and they suppress it, and therefore, you know, like, since nobody made a peep about it, it never gets tied back to them. But they had to wait so long to, like, put it behind them.
Hmm.
I don't know. I just felt like one of them, at least, would, like, bring it to light. But
yeah, that's a pretty good, I don't know if it's friendship or if it was just all of the humiliation that they felt.
Yeah.
But that's quite a shared instance to not share with anybody else.
Right. I don't know. I would run and tell, I mean, like, I wanted him to tell Father Bobby in the prison.
Oh, yes.
He was in there. I'm like, why didn't you just say something? Because he's a kid, I guess, and he doesn't realize that if you did say something, you wouldn't get in trouble for it. Like, those people would just get taken away. I guess it's hard to be 10 years old or 15 or whatever they were.
Yeah, probably 12 to 15 or so, I would guess.
Yeah, so, I don't know. That was just frustrating for me that, like, nobody had... I mean, like, Father Bobby was, like, their most trustworthy person on the planet, and they all, like, loved him, and they didn't even confide in him about it. And that was, like, pretty frustrating for me. I'm like, oh my god, you just, like, sucked it up and waited until you were 30-some years old.
Yeah, they do have to... Yeah, that's the thing, is it's these kids, they don't have parents...
Right.
Essentially, right? And so they have Robert De Niro's character, but yet they still don't really have a person that they can talk to about anything. And I don't know. I wonder if that's a generational thing, or I just would like to imagine that if some traumatic event happened to me, there'd be somebody that I could talk to about it.
Of course.
Especially somebody that's like very blatantly like, look, let me talk to me. Let me help you.
Right.
I would be like, all right.
I can do something about it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I don't know. That part was frustrating. And part of the thing that started to frustrate me a bit is I like this movie a lot when it's with the kids. When it gets to the grown-ups, it feels a little long to me. And with the Dustin Hoffman, him being a bit of a drunk and not being able to quite figure out that he's being played, but right. he's still going to win. And I'm like, okay, but that's just not as interesting to me.
Right. I mean, after the shooting, I was kind of like, okay, how are they not going to get away with it? Or going to get away with it? And then I was like, okay, that sounds like a plan. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. It seems like, okay, well, I don't necessarily need to see every single step of it, I guess.
Right.
You know, they could have cut maybe 10 minutes is all, and I would have felt like it was moving along a little quicker.
Sure.
Because as the DVD will contest, it's a long movie.
Right.
Can't even handle it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I didn't really remember, like I said, the grown-up portions as much. And the only other thing that I had about the end, like the very end, is they're kind of doing the narration and the dialogue and the music is just a little too much for me. Like it's a little bit, oh, and everything, you know, even though things worked out shitty for all of them.
Right.
It still was like trying to put a really precious bow on it.
Yeah.
And I would have rather it been like, yeah, you know what? We got fucked over and our lives sucked. Done.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, the ending could have been that they meet at that bar and just, like, get drunk, and then that's the end. Like, I didn't need any of the voiceover. I didn't really, you know, like, it didn't affect what happened past that point, what happens to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that guy dies, like, 2 years later, and I'm like, okay, great, I guess. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, that didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, so I think they could have just had him, like, all meet at the bar and take a shot or whatever, and then, like, that the movie could have been done.
Yeah, I could have had for it happen, and I could have had it be something where they would have sat all around the table, and they're all still, like, uncomfortable and not really wanting to talk about it, and one of them either, like, passes a beer or a shot or whatever, and the other one kind of looks at him, and then it ends.
Yeah, or something, yeah.
To where I don't need to see them all palling around and having, like, one great last night.
Yeah, and they kept saying that, like, one last moment of us having all, being all together and having...
It's the last time, and it was the last time. Driver wanted to sleep with the entire group, apparently.
Right, I think that's what happened right after the camera cut. She just hopped in the middle of the table.
Yeah. She's like, all right, who's going to do it? And they're like, what? You didn't read this right.
Oh my God.
All right, I was just going to drink this, and you're supposed to be my girlfriend. What's happening?
Right.
So, I don't know. So, I thought that it just struck me as a little much. It struck me as a little, like, mid-90s schmaltzy, like, put a bow, and even though shitty things happened to them, it still felt happy.
Yeah.
Or, like, it was trying to feel happy, and I was like, no, just it's okay if it's a dark movie. Trust me, I'll like you more if it is.
Right.
Just let it be a dark movie. So, I don't know. Okay, well, do you have anything else about Sleepers before we move on?
No.
Okay, so let's move on to my selection. It is from 2001, and it is In the Bedroom.
There are things of which I may not speak. There are dreams that cannot die. There are thoughts that make the strong heart weak, bring a pallor into the cheek. And a mist before the eye.
I was just thinking.
About what?
About you.
Where are they, with him?
It's none of your business.
They're my boys, but they're none of my business.
Oh my God, what happened?
Come on, tell me, you hit him. You take my house, and you take my kids.
Go upstairs!
Stay here!
You can't admit the truth to me or to yourself.
You encouraged him.
Are you saying that I'm the one responsible?
I know what you think, but I let him get away with everything!
The Fowlers are a normal family in Maine. Matt is the town doctor and loves to fish. His wife, Ruth, is the school's choir leader, and their son, Frank, is home from his first year of college. Frank is in love with Natalie, a young mother who isn't quite divorced yet from her ex-husband, Richard Strout, whose family runs the local cannery. It makes Richard's blood run cold to see his wife running around with another man, and soon an unthinkable tragedy happens that will tear the Fowlers apart.
Okay, so this is In the Bedroom by director Todd Field. And Todd Field, he was an actor who played Nick Nightingale from Eyes Wide Shut, movie with Tom Cruise, and he's been in a few other things like Twister and not a lot of shows, but he's directed. This was his first feature, and then he directed Little Children, which came after this in 2006 and had Kate Winslet, Jennifer Connelly, Patrick Wilson, and Rorschach, Jackie Earle Haley.
Rorschach.
Yeah.
He should just change his name to Rorschach, make it easier for everybody else.
Yeah, and that was about a couple, and I don't know if there was a way to figure out, like, that's a tough one to pigeonhole into a theme, but if there's a way to figure that out, I'm going to try to figure that out because I like that movie, and it's kind of like this one. It's got that same sort of feel to it. Okay. My history with this is my parents owned a restaurant when I grew up, and it was owned by the landlord who was next to us who owned a pawn shop.
Right.
And so the pawn shop owner would come over and run a bar tab or a food tab or what have you, and he would say, "Oh, yeah, just have the kids come over to the pawn shop and pick out whatever they want."
Awesome.
And so when I would come home from college, that was still going on. And so occasionally I would go over and I would pick up a movie and be like, "Well, I don't know what this is. It says, Academy Award nominations. I'm going to give it a shot."
Nice.
And that's exactly what I did with this. That the inside of it said the actual disc on the tops was a rental that they had sold. Oh. So that's why I peeled it off. That's why the top of the DVD is sticky.
I was wondering.
Yeah. And so that's where we came to in terms of that. I'm guessing this is a first watch for you also?
Yes.
Okay. So when I saw it, I felt like it was a very sleepy movie, to where it's got a very sort of relaxed and casual like pace to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really sort of identified with all that the movie was trying to do. And then again, watching it with Anel for this, I really enjoyed it. And I was kind of surprised at how much I enjoyed it. And I think it is Tom Wilkinson and Sissy Spacek specifically is why I enjoyed it so much. And I like Marissa Tomei. So, Cruiser, what did you think of In the Bedroom?
I like being in the bedroom.
You like being in the bedroom?
Yeah. I did not like this movie.
Interesting. You didn't like it. Why not?
Because it was it was a lot of sleepiness.
Yeah, it's very slow, very.
And there to me is one big moment of oh my god, and then the rest of it is kind of meh.
Okay. This will be fun in that I will not try to convince you. I will just state what I think is good about it.
Okay.
So I'm just putting that out there. Like, I'm not trying to convince your opinion, convince you that your opinion's not right, which I try to do sometimes.
I know that.
So what I like about it is, first of all, like I said, I think that the cast is really good. I think that the guy that plays Richard, who is also in Lost, is a very convincing creep.
Yes, I agree with that.
So I really enjoy him. I think that when the sort of big moment happens, I think that it is, for me, it was definitely unexpected the first time it happened.
Oh yeah, I gasped. Yeah, definitely.
And especially because I remember watching this and I was like, okay, well, he's going to get there and Frank is just going to get the shit kicked out of him again.
Right.
And you hear the gunshot go off, and I expect maybe chest wound, gut wound, something. And they show the eye being shot out, and I was like, oh my god.
Yes, that part was like super, yeah, it was a lot of surprise, for sure. Yeah,
and I was like, well, you've got me now. Like, you definitely have my attention.
Yeah, and they did. They did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Attention. Mm-hmm. After that.
And so some of the notes that I have on here before we get too far into it is I love movies that incorporate baseball. Uh-huh. And I just love hearing it just makes me think of this as a real place in a real world, right? Because this one and Sleepers had baseball on the radio.
Yep.
Going on, and it's just part of the world. And I like the Fowlers in terms of Tom and Tom Wilkinson and Sissy Spacek have a nice, fun relationship before the tragedy falls upon them. I just really like the sort of environment that Todd Field creates in that it feels pretty safe. Like, everything just feels pretty standard and blah.
Right.
Right? And I think that's obviously, for me, the point in that he's going to just show this normal world and then have this terrible thing happen. And then if the film succeeds or doesn't succeed, it's from that point forward.
Okay.
Is what I feel like. And so the thing was, and I asked Anel this as well, is if I would have just had you watch this movie and it would have been, look, we're doing a no theme month.
Totally different.
This is just a movie you're watching. It would have made you react different, right?
Totally.
Because you watch it now and you're like, okay, well, he shot Frank and now he's going to get it.
Yep.
He's going to eventually get it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's like, that's the only drawback about having our themes be specific sometimes. Is it's like, well, shit, this is, if it was like a revenge surprise or something, it'd be like, well, that's ruined. Because it's clearly going to happen.
Twist endings. What?
Yeah, the twist endings, but at least most of those we'd already seen, I think.
Right, yeah.
So I feel like we got away with that a little bit. But yeah, I can definitely see where that's problematic.
And that is a very good point. Because to me, this movie is so much more about the grief that people go through after they lose a son.
Mm-hmm.
Or a child of any, in any, you know, aspect. More than, cause like, I'm just waiting for this guy to go off and just fucking kill this guy the whole time. And when he finally does it, I'm like, well, it's about time. Like, I'm not even.
Sure. You're just kind of like, okay.
Cause like, if I would have been in a different frame of mind, I'd be like, oh, he's going to go to his house and talk to him. Oh, he's going to put him in the car and he's a gun. Like, oh my goodness.
Is he really going to do this? Is he actually holy shit, he just shot him.
Right. Totally different. Cause like, when he goes to his house, I'm like, are you going to shoot him here? How are you going to clean it up? You're right. I was in the wrong state of mind to watch it because, like, I'm thinking, like, Sherlock Holmesian, where I'm like, put him in the rug, you shoot him with gloves on, you get a Dexter him. I don't know.
Yeah, how is he going to get away with it more than is he going to do it or not?
Right. So I think the, like, waiting part in between where they're trying to find their way afterward would have been totally, and, you know, I don't be mad, but I'm not a huge fan of Marissa Tomei. I don't really know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. She hasn't been in enough things for me to be like, oh, hell yeah, she's in this. It's awesome. I guess I haven't watched enough things with her in them for me to be blown away by her.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I think I've seen, she was in My Cousin Vinny, right?
Yeah.
And then she was like, the teacher in that one with Steve Carell where he gets divorced.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah.
And she was in The Wrestler. She was the main.
Yeah.
She was like the stripper in that.
Right.
So I don't know. I think what I like about it is that she's a woman who doesn't look like she's trying to be 20.
Right.
Like, she's a middle-aged woman and is okay with it, it seems like. Yeah. And so I think that's what I like about her.
I understand. That's understandable.
Maybe it's Italiano.
About. No, and I'm never like, oh, Marissa Tomei is going to be gross. Like, I don't have an adverse reaction to her, but it doesn't make me want to go watch something with her in it.
Okay.
So she was fine in it, and she reacted, you know, like, the interactions with her before even he with Frank, and then after with the parents are like, really heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah, it's the one in the gas station.
Yeah.
Where she's just kind of, like, giving the far-off stare.
Yeah.
When she's trying to do her job, to where I'm just like, oh, my goodness, like, this is really hitting home. And I think that what's important about the enjoyment or lack thereof is how much the Matt and Ruth, the parents, fighting impacts, like how successful that is. Because I liked that they were a good, solid couple, but they weren't idyllic.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, they're the perfect old couple, and this thing happens. Because Sissy Spacek, she kind of knows what she wants, and is a little bit of a, like, a rough around the edges a little bit. You know, like, she's a little coarse to him. And so once her only son, who she's bitter about that it's her only son,
right.
Once he dies, then she's pissed that he's not upset enough about it.
Right.
And they have that kitchen sequence. And that was really hard for me. Like, that was one where they were just laying into each other. And it was like, oh, yeah, well, you know what? 15 years ago, I'm still not over this kind of a thing.
Right.
And it's like, I'm going to find everything that I can that's going to hurt your feelings, and I'm going to throw it at you right now.
Because they just, well, and they hadn't really said, there wasn't at least a scene where they had talked through it after he died. And she's like, you're just pretending it didn't happen, which, of course, isn't true. He's mm-hmm. just... People have their own way of grieving.
Well, and it makes sense that he's a physician, so he's very clinical and detached.
Right, and he kind of seems a little introverted, you know, he likes to go fishing by himself and stuff, so he's not just going to walk up to somebody and be like, these are my feelings.
Yeah, what did you think of their poker game and the guy with the sweet voice reciting poetry? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was just... I mean, it was a good... tension breaker for the room. Because everybody was like, I don't know what the fuck to say to you right now, dude.
So yeah, because they were just looking at him, and he's like, just fucking say something.
Right. So, yeah, and, you know, it does do a really good job of, like you said, it's a real environment, so to make the emotions about a situation like this real,
mm-hmm.
It does a good job of that. Like, real friends who are awkward and don't know what to say. Like, Sissy Spacek, the guy's wife, who is clearly not as tactful as...
Oh, Celia Weston, who plays just a tremendous, like... I just watched her in Snow Falling on Cedars for a class, and she was playing a racist.
Oh.
And kind of like a Southern type.
Oh, sure, that makes sense.
Just an ignorant racist.
Right.
And that's what she wasn't that, and here she just is not tactful, like you said.
Right, she's super nice, but she's, like, throwing all of her grandchildren in her face, and she doesn't realize she's doing it, and then she says something about, I don't know, something to the point of, like, I don't know, I have a bunch, and blah, 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 and then she realizes what she said, and then she feels awkward and stupid, and
and,
a lot of that is tough to watch, but it's true to life, and so that was good too, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's almost like if people have had a lot of personal drama, I like that. I think that they would maybe enjoy this movie because you're like, oh shit, I know what that's like. Ugh, whew, I know what that's like.
Well, I know what because it's like to be.
Not everyone has the idyllic little life like Rachel Zelag. Everything's perfect.
Yes, that is. Right? The furthest from the truth.
It's Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
Z-Lag style.
Z-Lag House on
the Prairie. I'm just kidding. Just teasing.
But,
So anyway, the next note that I have down here, you already sort of mentioned, but I love how slow the kidnapping was and how slow the death is.
Right, it was very...
It's almost like he's savoring it. You know, and he's just like going to, he's being careful, sure, but it's like, he's got to make sure it's right. And he also sort of wants to enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, but then he just shoots him.
And you're right, but then he says that he couldn't wait any longer. And so it's almost like he's getting so excited about it, and finally he's like, fuck it, I'm just doing it now. But you don't read that on his face because he plays everything so cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, the cops who do the case later have to be like, really, you left your train ticket stub here? You gotta be the dumbest person I've ever met.
Yeah, well, that guy, I mean, he wasn't a great dude, so.
Right, you're right. He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Yeah. That is true. So what do you think of, what do you think of the title of this? In the Bedroom? Because it is related to...
fishing?
To getting lobsters, and if they have more than two in there, you can squeeze one out, and you get more than, you know, two in a couple, meaning the three, Marissa Tomei and the two guys, and one gets squeezed out in a way, and that whole sort of symbolism, I guess.
Until you basically explained it to me just now, I had no idea. Like, okay. I heard him say in the bedroom about fishing, and he was talking about lobster, and I was like, whatever, get on with whatever you're doing for this.
Yeah, and it's like a thing where, you know, they only have one claw because the other one got caught, and I was like, okay, well, it's like they're missing half of themselves, and that's kind of what the parents are feeling like with the son being gone, because that's the only one they had.
I mean, it's like super subtle.
Yeah, it is.
Super.
Well, I mean, and I think, I don't know that I got that the first time I watched it, though. I mean, this is probably three or four times I've seen it.
It's fine.
I think after watching it for a while, you start looking for other things than just...
Right, well, I'm saying, like, stupid people like me are going to be like, I don't understand how the bedroom, like, they're in the bedroom when he's done killing people, or...
Oh, Cruz. But anyway, so that was interesting, though. I think that it is, I think you're definitely in line with the criticism that I would give it, though. It is a little sleepy. It is,
Well, I watched Sleepers first, so probably my mistake.
It is, very much dependent on if you think this revenge that you shouldn't know is coming, if you think that's successful, and how real you feel these, parents are. Like, yeah. Those would be the keys for me.
And I did feel they're real, but I think we did come up with a good point. If I would have just watched this as a movie, like Movies We Missed or something that you had told me I had to watch, it would have been under completely different circumstances. I probably would have. At least, it'll always be sleepy because it is just kind of moving right along, sleepy. But I think I would have came away with it a little different, thought process.
You may have enjoyed it a touch more, but overall, I think the overall feeling would have been probably pretty close to the same.
Yeah, probably.
So, I would recommend checking out Little Children. It's based on a book by Tom Parada, who did The Leftovers.
Okay.
And it is just like a small town, and it seems like it's about like a marriage gone wrong. Or two different marriages gone wrong, essentially. And then it gets more disturbing after that, I guess.
Oh, cool.
But it's pretty good.
Fun.
But it's also, it's very much the same tone. Like, it's very sleepy, very, kind of just safe. There's several.
Great. Then that's all I need to know.
Yeah, and it feels very safe, and then things happen, and you're like, holy shit.
Cool.
That took me out. And there's a lot of nudity in it, too.
Trifecta.
So there you go. There you go. All right, well, do you have anything else about that one before we wrap this up?
No, I'm done watching that one.
Okay, well, next time is our last revenge movies. What do you think of this theme so far, Cruiser?
I like it. I like revenge.
Yeah, we're going to...
dish best served with revengetables.
Revengetables.
I stole that from Twitter. That was an original.
Well, I wish it was.
I know.
It's too bad. Okay, well, why don't you close this out, Cruz?
Fine, I will. If you have any comments for the show or movies that you would like to hear us talk horribly about, no, I'm just kidding. We're awesome. Please feel free to email us at podcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at Plain Label Pod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79, and I am at LadyZlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to go to Amazon or AmazonSmile.com or whatever it is now, search for our wish list. It's full of movies we want, equipment we need, and a whole host of other goodies. If you're in the giving mood, just search for our wish list called Plain Label Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more revenge movies.
Over to eat.
No, no.
No. Watch this, Jenna. Take a picture of this. Not that.
Hold on.
Oh, I saw that. Ridiculous. Take a beating together.